Dear one, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for the day that thou hast given unto us and has brought us to this evening, Lord, where we have assembled together. We have come together as a body of believers with our children and our friends, and we thank thee for this opportunity, Lord. With thy word before us, O Lord, we call unto thee that thou would be our teacher in this evening, that as we have gathered in thy name, O Lord, thy presence is assured. It is a promise that thou hast given, and so, Lord, we delight in knowing that thou art here with us. And we ask that our hearts would be prepared for thee and thy word, they would feel thy presence in this evening. And in thy presence, O Lord, there is many blessings. And so, Lord, we call upon thee, be thou with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and meditation, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9, and begin with verse 51 to the end. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning with verse 51 to the end. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. As we pick up the reading in this chapter, earlier we know that Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration and his disciples were speaking amongst themselves of who is going to be the greatest amongst them. And Jesus finds them and he brings a little child amongst them and it says, you have to become like one of these little ones. We pick up the reading here where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And as they were going to go through Samaria, he sends messengers before them so that they would make ready for him. And they refused to receive him. And we see that James and John, his disciples, are very upset about this. And they said, Wilt thou that we command? As if they could command anything. So they're asking him, to give them the ability to call fire down from heaven, even as the prophet Elijah had. And our Lord rebukes them. He says, he turns to them and he rebukes them, and he says, "You know not what manner of spirit ye are of." And then he goes on and says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." It doesn't tell us what James and John, how they reacted to this, what they thought, how ashamed they must have felt that they were ready to destroy a city. And Jesus tells them, "That's not why I'm here. Don't you know yet what spirit ye are of?" And brothers and sisters and dear friends, I think that all of us can really hear our Savior asking us many times in our days, as we go about our daily lives, are we being told, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are of," in our reactions to others, in everything that we do in life? We have to consider, is this the manner of the spirit that we are of? Or will Jesus turn to us and rebuke us as he did James and John? There's a demand that is being placed upon us in this scripture. And it's one of Christ's probably, I'm just saying this, is probably what we could look at as one of his favorite calls: "Follow me." We know we just read on the shores of Galilee that Jesus told Peter, "Come and follow me." And we have to know that when Jesus is calling us to follow him, just as he did Peter on that morning when he told him, "Follow me," he showed him that he would also stretch his hands out and die by the way of the cross as Jesus had. And here he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And his call was, wherever he went, "Follow me." And we see a response that is coming from a man. It just says, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus turns to him and says, he wants him to know what this will cost him. "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He turns to another and he says, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus responds to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And again, another says, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house." Jesus' call to follow him, in him is the meaning of life. That can only be found in him. And none of the possessions of this life can hinder us. He's telling him, "Following me, I have nothing. I have nowhere to lay my head. I don't have a mansion. I don't have anything in this life for you." He tells the other man who says that he will follow him, he says, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another wants to bid farewell to those that are his house. And so what Jesus is instructing and showing them here and us today, dear ones, is that following him, there can be no relationship that can get between my Lord and me. If someone's spouse is to go off of the path of Christ, we can't follow her or him there. If our child is to go off the path, we can't follow them on that path. We can't say that my filial love for my family member is so great that I will follow them. He says here that there is nothing that can stop us from following him. Now, and so he would say to every one of us here today, the same things he said to Peter, the same things he said to these men here. And if we find amongst ourselves, there's younger and older, we're in different stages of our lives. But the one thing that Jesus would say to each and every one of us, because it would meet every one of our needs, follow me. If you have any need, that can only be met in Christ. It can't be met outside of him. You can't look for it in putting off, as this man says, but let me first go. And every one of us who does not follow our Lord has that but. We have that but. And when we consider that something in this life, we know what it, what we know what that is. Every one of us knows. And the thing is, are we really honest with ourselves, or do we feel that we can follow him and still have that but, still have that tendency that we can still wander away and go do these other things, whatever it is that is in our life that we are seeking? But we have to know that the answer that we are giving is before God. So he is calling us here today, each one of us by name, follow me. What is my answer to him tonight? What is your answer to him tonight? He says, follow me. I will. In other words, I will. I'm coming. I realize that you are the Lord, the Savior. You are the Savior of the world. I recognize who you are. I know that. And in my heart, I know I will come and follow you one day. I want to. I know who you are. I've heard of you, of who you are, and I know, and I will come. But. And so, what we really tell our Lord is, you don't mean to me what this but means to me. So instead of following you, I'm going to follow this for a time, though I recognize who you are. As this man says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He calls him Lord. As Lord, he is king. We know that if we call upon him as our Lord, that means he is our king. He is our master. And a king is obeyed. And so, dear ones, as I reflected even on what we read last Sunday and the call to love, David says in one of his psalms that He speaks of his soul that is thirsting. He says, oh, Psalm 63, the first couple of verses, says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This is what we would be following when we say, I will follow you, Lord, but we are going into a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, and we are choosing that over him where he gives the living water. He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Do we recognize that? Do we just know it in our minds, but it never really made the connection from our thoughts into our hearts, where it settles into our heart, so that we can truly follow him and experience the joy and the fullness, where he says, I will dwell in them, or I will dwell in you. He's speaking to us, and I will walk in them. So by dwelling in us, he is living within our hearts. I will dwell in them. He takes an active life within us, and he says, and I will walk in them. So he will direct our paths. This is who we turn away from when we say, but I will come, but I want to go do this first. I want to experience this. I want to go to that land where there's no water. He says, and we forsake the God who will dwell in us, who will walk in us. And it says, and I will be their God. That means if he is my God, he governs me. He governs me. And so when I say, I will, Lord, but it means really, I don't want you to govern me. I don't want you to walk with me. I want you to keep watch over me, keep me safe. Yes, because I will come one day. That's the plan. I'm going to come one day. But I don't want you to govern me yet. I don't want you to live in me, because when you're living in me, I can't be living for myself. And walking with us, directing our paths, governing us, I will be their God. And so Apostle Paul speaks of those whose God is their belly. That is, when God is our, when our belly is our God, that is the answer that we will always say when we say, but I will follow thee, Lord, but for now, my God is me. I want to govern myself. I am my own God. I want to govern myself. I want to have these moments where I want to do what I want to do and so on. And Jesus tells us, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What he wants us, he says here to this man, he says, to go and to preach the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is calling us to a life of service. And it is only when we follow him And again, he's going to Jerusalem. We know what awaits him in Jerusalem. And Jesus makes it clear to us, and he tells us, to take up your cross and follow me. Because in the cross, that is the power, that is the resurrection. The power of the resurrection comes. And he says, if you put your hand on the plow to come and follow me, but you look back. And do we ever find ourselves, brothers and sisters, looking back? Because think about it. When I am looking back, when my eyes are off of my Lord, I'm longing to be governed by myself. Because there's something that I'm looking back that I've left that is still a longing in my heart for. I'm looking back. That's the sin. Because you've already sinned. You've looked back. Because God tells us here, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. By looking back. Dear ones, we have to be so careful and have the light of the Word of God before us when we examine our hearts and our lives, our day, just our day. Let's do it on a daily basis. Because Jesus says, take up the cross daily and follow me. Again, follow me. Okay, Lord, but and you know, there's many instructions that parents give to children. There's many instructions that they need to be taught and to learn and to so on, but none of that will matter to you, my dear friend. No instruction that you could have received from your parents in the life, to live this life, to find your way in life outside of Christ, will matter. You can have a very successful life. You can have everything. You can everything that your heart desired. And what does David say? It's a dry and thirsty land. There's no water there. David realized, and so when Jesus told Peter and asked him, do you love me? This is what he's asking Peter, what David is professing, his love for him. And he's asking us also to love him. We cannot love one another in a horizontal plane unless we love vertically, which is to love him first. Early will I seek thee. Paul encourages us and exhorts us, put on love, which is Christ. Early in the morning, put him on. Search him out. Early will I seek thee. Why? Because my soul is thirsting for thee. Life outside of Christ is a barren land. He's thirsty and there's no water. There's nothing for his soul outside of Christ. That is the love that we are to love our Lord with. And when we love him like that, our hands are on the plow and we're following him. We're step in step with him on the way to Jerusalem. We're on the way to the cross. We will die daily. We will die daily to our sins and to our misgivings and to everything. He says, and why? So that we would see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Everything in this life. The loving kindness of our Creator, of our God, is better than life itself. So when we feel this, when this love for him grows to this, what David is expressing here, when that love is such, then we recognize that there's nothing in this life that I want more than him. And so then Paul says that he died to everything in this life so that he may obtain him. And so our love grows when we recognize who he is. Our love for him will never grow when we have the but. I will follow you, Lord, but. Our love can never grow. And we will always ask ourselves, well, how can I love you, Lord? How can I love like that? It can only be by recognizing who he is. And not only with our minds, but let it sink into our heart. We have to die to ourselves, to our own pride, to our own desires, our own, and those are all misgivings. Because a life in Christ is a life that is worth living. And is a life that is worth dying. And is a life that, it is a life that quenches the thirst that we have in our soul when we follow him. He is the one who can provide that. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we find ourselves looking back? What did I leave behind? What do I want? No man will say that he has found lasting happiness in anything in this life. But I've heard many a poor men and women who didn't have the luxuries of life that we have, who had stress beyond what we could imagine, and yet they professed a joy and a peace. They understood that God was with them. The joys of life are not found in life itself. It's found in Christ. He is the one who gives that joy to us. And so when we don't follow him, we lose joy. We become completely overwhelmed and overtaken by our enemy. And we slip and we slide and we look back and we fall and we wander. And does Christ leave us? No, he doesn't. He comes for us and he calls us back. And what he says, what he said to these men here and to the villages that he went into, he says to us today, follow me. It is a demand that is being placed upon us by our Lord. And when we follow him, then and only then will we feel and know the meaning of life and the joy of life. Then we will be able to, despite whatever hardships, and we read that throughout the Acts of the Apostles, whatever befalls them, the joy that Christ gives cannot be taken away. But it brings God glory. It brings God glory when we follow him. It glorifies him. And so if our love for him is such, we will delight in glorifying him. And it's not only come to singing and sing your heart out. That's not what glorifying him is. Yes, there's a place for that. And we worship him and we sing praises. But our heart has to be there too. Our heart has to be where Jesus says, I will be their God. Do I want him to govern me? If I don't, I'm going to have an excuse. But the excuse is one that can't, it's being made to him. The excuse is being made to him. I will, but what? Do we think that that's going to say, oh, really, you will? One day you plan to? Okay, good. We could talk like that to one another. But we can't talk like that to God. When he says, follow me, there's an urgency. It's today. He's calling us to life where he will come and live in us. He will walk with us and he will govern us. He will be our God. What more do we want in life? Because whatever it is, we lose him for that. We lose him eternally for that but that I want to follow today. So brothers and sisters and dear friends, as we reflect upon this call, on this demand for discipleship to follow him, let us really consider the buts in our lives that we create and we put off for tomorrow a closer walk with him or a complete giving over of ourselves to him. Because today is for me. Tomorrow is for Christ. And tomorrow comes by his mercy, and tomorrow becomes a day for me again. Because tomorrow, Lord, it's going to be a day. I'm going to tomorrow. And our lives go by that way. Without joy, without peace, fooling ourselves, deceiving our own selves, that one day I plan to. So may the Lord be with us in those moments as we heard this evening the call, follow me. May our Lord be with us as we answer him. And there would simply be, I yield my all to thee, Lord. I will follow thee. I will allow you to govern me. And that's not grudgingly, joyfully. You're my God. Govern me. Walk with me. Commune with me. If I have to die, I will die. Whatever you take me to, you will take me through. May God's name be exalted and glorified in all of our lives. Amen.
There is something missing from this account, perhaps intentionally. The responses of those who were called to follow. And perhaps it is for us to hear the truth that Jesus speaks about the nature of following him and to provide our own answer. We see in the next chapter that there were 70 that were sent to various cities to preach the kingdom of God. And there is a little bit over 70 people here tonight. Jesus said to them when they returned, those who were willing to follow and willing to respond to his call, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. May we have that hope and respond to Jesus Christ that we would also have that reason to rejoice in him. May God bless his word. Amen.